From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. In the age of the streaming giants, Spotify, Apple Music, Pandora, and more, music is more accessible than ever. Nearly all of it, all the time. Artists, groups, traditions from around the world in the palm of your hand, ready for your ears. It can be overwhelming, exciting, and once the algorithms learn what you seem to like, really easy to get the curated list of what they think you want. Music critic Ben Ratliff says it's not enough. We need a better way to listen. This hour on Point, how to choose your music when it's all there, all the time. You can join us on air or online where this conversation is always on. How do you find your tunes? Keep it fresh. Grow your range. Avoid a rut when it's all available all the time. We're at 1-800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK, or join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Ain't It Funky Now by James Brown behind us right there. 1970. Joining me from New York is Ben Ratliff, longtime music critic for the New York Times, author of The Jazz Ear, Coltrane, The Story of Sound, Jazz, A Critic's Guide to the 100 Most Important Recordings. His new book is Every Song Ever, 20 Ways to Listen in an Age of Musical Plenty. Ben Ratliff, welcome back to On Point. It's great to have you here.
Hi, Tom. Thank you.
Can we just sit with this for a second? This is a wonderful groove he's got going. Mm. And you give a lot of love to this tune in the book. Mm-hmm. Why?
Well, James Brown is one of the greatest artists of the 20th century or any century, and this is one of his greatest achievements, I think. It was released as a two-sided single, part one and part two, but, you know, it was just one long song. And it's a great example of how repetition works in music on the listener.
You've got a big message here, which is don't go for genre. Go for sort of bigger themes than that. A different way to listen to music. Why?
Well, it has to do with the situation we've found ourselves in. Over the last... I want to say 10 years. Let's say 10 years because I think Spotify started 10 years ago. Mm-hmm. We didn't really know much about it over here until more recently. But in general, in the last 10-something years, we've become used to the idea of so much of the history of recorded music just being available in our phone, you know, in our pocket. Mm-hmm. What are we going to do with that becomes the question. And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, you know, this is a really big change in how we understand music. Probably as big as the moment in the late 20s when all of a sudden, you know, gramophones and records became easily available. And that changed the way people understood music and heard music. And I think something similar is happening now. So the question is, we've got all this stuff. What are we going to do with it? Are we going to depend on the ways that streaming services want to package it and sell it to us and sort of profile us as listeners? Or are we going to try and expand our own listening capability?
You write, infinite access, unused or misused, can lead to an atrophy of the desire to seek out new songs ourselves and a hardening of taste such that all you want to do is confirm what you already know. There's a better way. You say follow themes. One of the themes that you have a lot of discussion of in here is sadness, which is very potent in music. A piece that you point out is particularly deep in this theme and really compelling by Nick Drake, Pink Moon, 1972, English folk singer Nick Drake.
So it written and so it say, Pink Moon is on its way. None of you stand so tall. Pink Moon, then I get you.
Pink Moon from Nick Drake, 1972. Very beautiful song. And I have to admit, Ben, I've never listened to it. I loved when it came up on the playlist that we put together to talk with you. What's the way of listening you're encouraging here that might lead me or somebody else to this song without Spotify spotting it for me?
Right. Okay, good question. I think I need to make clear here that, you know, because this book is encouraging listening broadly and going wide, it's not about a canon. You know, it's not about here are the 100 things that you need to know.
Yep.
I was definitely inspired by the music appreciation movement books, you know, of the first half of the 20th century. Books like What to Listen For in Music by Aaron Copland that would say, here's, you know, you want to be a reasonably educated listener? Here's what you need to know. And here are the works you need to know. And basically it was Bach through Brahms, you know. And it would say, this is how melody works. This is how harmony works. This is how sonata form works, etc. There you go.
Have fun.
I thought about that, and I thought, well, a book like that, how would that be written today? First of all, it wouldn't be only classical music. That seems ludicrous. It'd be sort of everything, you know? But also, the listener is more powerful now because access is power. So I decided to write a book where music would be categorized not according to what the composer wants you to understand, but actual listening experiences, repetition, loudness, etc. And I chose sadness as one of those themes, as the only one in the book that really deals with emotional affect in music, which is a really slippery idea. Some people say that sadness doesn't exist in music. You know, it's purely a construct. It's what we bring to it. But to answer your question of how to find a song like Pink Moon by Nick Drake, well, I really resist being an app or an algorithm, I have to say. I'm giving you examples in my book of what I'm talking about. I really feel like this book is predicated on the idea that music is all around us all the time. We bump into it. There's a lot of it we've never heard. We hear it in the supermarket and in station breaks on the radio and da 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 da. And this book is trying to suggest a spirit of listening to things that you don't know that makes you able to connect it with things that you do know.
Not a canon. We got it. Not an app or an algorithm, clearly. But it's kind of much more dynamic than that. Encouraging, you write that what tends to happen is we dig very deeply and very narrowly into all that music, creating bottomless comfort zones that we've decided we like and trust. Or we shut down, threatened by the endless choice. So maybe we can follow some of your themes out into that great ocean of music. We're going to have Mozart on the sadness theme in just a moment here. But before we get there, within that theme, you point in a very different direction from that plaintive Nick Drake. Here comes the Pain by Slayer, metal. Okay, Ben, the spirit that's going to take me from Pink Moon to Here Comes the Pain.
Yes. Some people have read this chapter and said, what, Slayer? Nah, that's not sadness. That's anger. They may be right. But I'm thinking about sadness as what people have talked about as the cycle, the chronic ennui cycle. There are all these stages of grief. You know, and one of them is kind of one of them is pretty close to anger, or pretty close to what Slayer does. Slayer expresses a sense of real existential hopelessness, and that connects with the idea of sadness in music.
Are you a playlist guy? Do you put together a playlist for yourself that would have Slayer up against Pink Moon, up against, we're going to hear Mozart String Quartet
yes.
number 19? Is that the
yes.
way you roll?
Yes, it is. I really like to have my listening retrained as often as possible. It makes me feel good, and it makes me feel alive. And this is how I encourage other people to listen too.
I have to say, I love it. I love this way of listening. It's not the rut. I mean, it takes you off the album, and I like the album, the old artist construction of a whole group of songs together. But there's another really exciting theme here.
Yeah, I love the album too. And in fact, I listen to albums a lot at home. I think that just, you know, one way of dealing with the abundance right now is to be able to switch around quickly and to surprise yourself and to essentially make yourself grow as a person. I think that one thing I talk about in the book is that listening is not a passive act. I think listening is a really creative act. Listening to music teaches you about life. It teaches you about emotion, and it teaches you, you know, pattern recognition, and it makes you become a bigger person. And so I think that if you listen widely, if you challenge yourself to listen outside of what you know, and follow any trail possible you can to find those things that are outside of what you know.
Ben Ratliff, stand by.
You're going to understand more.
Forgive me. We're up against a break here with Little Mozart, and I want to catch a bit of it. The new book is Every Song Ever, 20 Ways to Listen in an Age of Musical Plenty. We'll go to that. Listeners, you can join us. How do you decide what to play, what to listen to now when it's all out there? 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK with Benton Ratliff. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We'll be right back. Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. Behind us right there, Mighty Mighty, Spade and Whitey. It's Curtis Mayfield, 1971. Some great funk. It's among the tunes that Ben Ratliff is talking about in his big new book, Every Song Ever, 20 Ways to Listen in an Age of Musical Plenty. You can read an excerpt at our website, onpointradio.org. Ben Ratliff is music critic for the New York Times, author of The Jazz Ear, Coltrane, Jazz. New book says, hey, everything is out there now. Here's a way to think about how to go at finding and enjoying music, not getting in a rut. You can join us today. How do you decide what to play, what to listen to? Are you adventurous? Are you in a rut? Do you let Spotify point you to where it thinks you should go? Are you taking advantage of what's now available? Basically, everything. 800-423-8255 is our number. 800-423-TALK. Let's go to a Music City, Nashville. Dean is calling. Dean, you're on the air with Ben Ratliff and a little Curtis Mayfield there. What do you say, Dean?
Hi, Tom. I'm a big fan. Me, personally, in music. I love sporadic beats. And when I listen to the lyrics, I listen to lyrics that will help me grow consciously in my morals standard, you know?
I love it.
Yeah. Because, you know...
How do you find it, right. Dean? How do you find that?
Well, I personally use Spotify. He's right that it's just so vast. It's infinite, really. But... really, you have to be willing to want to find new music. You know, it's whenever you finally get fed up with all this generic-sounding nonsense on, you know, the radio and whatnot. Then you'll finally make the decision to branch out and acquire taste that you usually wouldn't. So it's like you said, it's a very active thing. It's not something you can just sit back and do.
Dean, it sounds like you've got a great track, or more than one maybe, and a great spirit, a word Ben Ratliff likes to use. I appreciate your call from Nashville. Ben, I want to look at that. We've got lots of advice here online. Patty says, you want to find great music? She says, get up off of that thing. Find your music where you move. Dance, yoga class, etc. Neil says, I listen to music from the last 10 centuries or so. He's very happy to travel, not just in space, but in time. Sam goes for space. He says, first step to finding good music, turning off the radio, at least the music radio. After that, it's up to you. Do your research. Talk to people. Go to forums. Go to bands you like. He finds, you know, Fortet and Wilco and a whole lot more out there. And you hear Dean in Nashville, Ben, saying, you know, he's got his, he likes sporadic beats. He's got lyrics with a kind of a moral guidance for him. So he's got some ponies to ride there, some themes to travel through.
Yeah. And I would just suggest that he can find his sporadic beats and moral lyrics probably across several centuries and continents of music. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, I think that probably if he likes hearing that kind of music made today in the United States, he probably would also find something connected to that, similar in some way, from far away from that particular tradition.
Talk about the pluses and minuses of letting Spotify take the wheel here, guide your musical consumption.
Well, yes. Once in a while in your life, you encounter something that you like and dislike in perfectly equal measure, you know? And Spotify, for me, in my work as a critic, is a really great tool and reference. I use it all the time, every day, you know? It's so fast. But it can reduce you, I think, even as it is trying to expand you. And there are other services that do this. It has an amazing tool called Discover Weekly right now, where it based on what it knows of you and your searches, it gives you a new playlist every week, and it's very flattering, you know.
You're so interesting. You're so cool. We know you'll love this. Check it out.
Oh, it's an amazing feeling, you know. And sometimes it gets you. It really gets you. But often you also feel reduced to a type, a profile of a listener, and that's I just resist that. It's not what I want to be. I want to be somebody who is able to listen to things that I don't know what they are, and I want to be able to learn and get past my own comfort zones.
I'm so with you on that. We don't want our edges filed down. We don't want our uniqueness, honed away by a type or a profile. So let's keep it interesting. Here's another. This is off. Out of your book, this is Soon to Be Innocent Fun. This is author Russell. And what are we into here? This is experimental artist. Let's listen. You'll tell us.
When you see down and see that
soon to be innocent fun from Arthur Russell. Ben Ratliff says, what, quiet and intimacy your theme here, Ben?
Yeah, the Arthur Russell track and the Curtis Mayfield track before it that you played both are from that chapter I wrote about quiet and silence and intimacy in music and what that does to the listener. It draws you in. It draws you closer to every single exhalation and every sound that, in this case, that Arthur Russell is making with his voice and with his cello. Arthur Russell was a very brilliant singer, musician, composer, very active in New York in the 70s and 80s, who died in the 90s.
I'm drawn right in. You can't help it. You've got to get close to this and just be with it there.
That's right. And I also make a connection in this book to João Gilberto, the Brazilian kind of architect of bossa nova, mm-hmm. who very similarly sings songs in such a way that he gets you, he almost sucks you right into his respiratory system.
Yes.
When he's singing. It's amazingly intimate.
That sinuous quality. Heidi in Madison, Wisconsin. Heidi, thank you for calling. You're on with Ben Ratliff.
Hi. I'm a radio fan. I'm a community radio DJ, and it's been so for a couple decades.
Now that's great. That's a whole different thing from the sort of big, giant signal. What do you say, Heidi?
It really, really frustrates me, and when people say don't listen to the radio for new stuff, because that's all community radio and college radio are.
But you know what they're talking about.
Genres,
right.
And getting new stuff. Commercial radio is a whole other animal and a depressing, depressing landscape. I understand that. But non-commercial radio is vibrant. You can hear new things that you've never heard of before. The stations are not genre specific.
Yes.
So you can, you know, your potential of hearing across genres is huge. And, you know, that's where I go for new music. I have, you know, sort of a benefit of access to the music library, but that's where I go to hear things I've never heard before, community and college radio.
Heidi, I'm right there with you, and that is so great. And that's not, I think, the radio that people were saying don't listen there. Of course, listen to this. But I think that's a good hook, Ben. Thank you, Heidi. That's a good moment at which to sit back and think about how things have changed. I mean, Ben, there was a time when if you wanted to hear diverse music, that was almost the only place you could go. People went there like crazy. If you wanted to listen to any music, you had to own the album or know someone who owned the vinyl. Mm-hmm. In those days, that was the path. Now there are a million paths. I still love the idea of somebody like Heidi out there curating or offering me new things. But that music library is now available, kind of, to everybody.
Yeah, I agree. College and community radio, freeform radio, as they used to call it, and also, you know, pirate radio in London, in England, available that you can hear online. These are amazing ways to listen to music. What I really crave, I guess, is dumb luck, random encounters, any sort of feeling that you're being put on shuffle, that you're being given things that you don't expect. And yes, it is easier to get that feeling by listening to community and college radio than commercial radio.
We love that curation. And I don't mean just because the library is accessible doesn't mean people know how to get into it and find good things. That's exactly what we're talking about here. We had quiet and intimacy there with author Russell. Let's go just a very different way. 1968 Blue Cheer, just a little bit loud. Loudness, one of Ben Ratliff's themes in every song ever, 20 Ways to Listen in an Age of Musical Plenty. And there's Blue Cheer. This one is a crank it up moment.
Yeah. That record was actually partly recorded outside, you know, like on piers.
Yeah, I feel like I can hear it.
The idea being this music is just too loud to be contained inside, you know, any building with walls and a ceiling. It's like the greatest grandiose idea. It's a loud record.
And sometimes that's just the way to go. Ben writes, nobody can love everything, of course. The urgent thing seems to be how to access a strategy of openness, a spirit of recognition. The book is Every Song Ever. Gabriel in Cleveland, Ohio. Gabriel, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Just wanted to say I'm a big fan of the show and the information that you make available through it. I just wanted to comment how music is an avenue in which people can find new information and new topics and ideas and problems that are in the world that they might not have known about. Like one of my favorite artists is named Kanan. He's most famous for his song Waving Flag, which was the theme for one of the World Cups. And you know, a lot of times in his music, he talks about some of the things that he's encountered in Somalia, like sexual slavery, child abduction, the violence and corruption that is present in his nation, and just kind of the how it weighs upon him. And
Gabriel, how did you find Kanan, the Somali hip-hop artist? How did you do it?
Well, through my brother. He knows a lot of music through the internet, and I've known about him for years, and his music is just absolutely, it's amazing. Everybody should just take a look at it. There's so much information he has available and so much emotion and some of the joy he projects through some of the suffering he's had. It's just something everybody should hear at least once or twice.
Kanan, Somali hip-hop artist, emotion there, but also issues and information. Gabriel, I appreciate your sharing that with us. One more right here, Norwich, Connecticut. Carol, you're on the air.
I'm really looking forward to finding that book, Ben. And as a person entering a second century of life, I want to put in just a really brief plug for the convenience and ease of access for Spotify and Pandora and those things.
Entering a second century of life? You're more than 100 years old, Carol. You sound great.
No. Oh, sorry.
Whatever you're listening to, I want to listen.
Second half century.
Okay.
Sorry. At any rate, you know, I'm not one of these young people who's already got Spotify on her phone yet, although I am. I'm going there. But my main point was, for a long time, you know, the returns or the intervals between reports and interviews and whatnot on whether it was local or national NPR, the little songs, and there were sometimes songs that, I mean, hit me so hard I was desperate to learn where to find that song or that artist. And sometimes it was available and sometimes it was listed on the website when, you know, and again, I've been listening to it. To public radio since before internet, but sometimes it wasn't. And, you know, I'd call in or, you know.
please tell me what was that at the break, yeah. Carol, I know exactly what you mean, and we get people inquiring about those all the time, and I think it shows how people, in spite of the hypothetical availability of everything, they're so open when something different, something they haven't heard, even just a snippet of it in the break in a radio show. Yes, we have seen people respond to that like crazy. I want to keep it coming. What do you say, Ben?
Yeah, I agree. I think that interstitial music on the radio, mm-hmm. in movies, just wherever, is very powerful because you don't know what it is, and because you encounter it so often. You know, a lot of people are asking me, okay, great. So you've suggested the spirit in which to listen, mm-hmm. That is based in, you know, listener experiences, you know, how the listener feels when they're listening to music. Fine. How do I find the music? And like I was saying earlier, it's difficult for me to point you toward certain platforms or programs or whatever, because they're all trying to get their hooks in you and define you as a listener in a way. They've got a brand and they want you to hook up with their brand. But I was thinking about this just yesterday. I was thinking about it and I thought, you know, well, the National Recording Registry, do you know about that?
No, I don't.
It's set up by the Library of Congress. It's every year since 2002, they add, I think it's 25 recordings to what they call the National Recording Registry. And what they're doing is they're creating a sort of canon of works, full albums or single songs, that have some importance to American life in some way or another. So if you read down this list, it's really amazing in its randomness, but it's all excellent, you know? De La Soul and Leontine Price and Johnny Mercer and Fats Waller, Jimi Hendrix, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And actually, I think if anybody wants to take the spirit of this book and, you know, listen in new ways, that might be a good place to start. The National Recording Registry, which you can find at loc.gov, the Library of Congress website.
It's a great suggestion. Lots of sources, great music. Ben Ratliff's new book is Every Song Ever, 20 Ways to Listen in an Age of Musical Plenty. Lover Man from Sarah Vaughan right here. You can join us, 800-423-8255. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.
I give my soul just to call you my own. Got a moon above me, but no one to love me. Love a man, oh, where can you be? I've heard it said that the...
This On Point podcast is made possible by Squarespace. If you have a passion that you obsess over, if it keeps you up at night, if you live for it, you should show it off. With easy-to-use tools and templates, Squarespace websites help you capture every detail of what drives you. Because if it's worth the effort, it's worth showing to the world. Start your free trial today at squarespace.com. When you're ready to purchase, use the one-word offer code ONPOINT to save 10%. You should. Squarespace.
Strange as it seems, someday we'll meet. And you'll dry all my tears and whisper sweet little things in my ears. A hug and a kiss.
Recuerdo que cuando un niño me parecía mi pueblo, ay, mi pueblo.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about how to choose music and how to listen in an age when all music is available all the time, everywhere. Ben Ratliff has some advice. His new book is Every Song Ever, 20 Ways to Listen in an Age of Musical Plenty. He's a music critic for the New York Times. You can join us as well this hour. Behind us right now, this is Carmen Linares with Remembranzas. A little flamenco sound right there that Ben Ratliff looks at for improvisation. How terrific. How about you? Has the age of plenty expanded your range in music, or are you still hitting the same tunes, the same genres? Is there a think different opportunity here for you, a listen differently opportunity? Are you really taking advantage of what's now available? Basically, everything. We're at 800-423-8255, 800-423-TALK. Ben, we've got lots of response online here. Sean says, hey, talk about Shazam. He says, I often get caught holding my phone up in bars and restaurant bathrooms, the app that can recognize music. NJ says, hey, there's a lot out there beyond Spotify, Rhapsody, thousands of streaming stations from all over the world, Gaelic music, classical, Scandinavian, dancehall, metal folk, you name it. NJ points to Radio Paradise, Homer Thinking Radio, Bootlicker, Hawaiian Rainbow, Fork Alley. It is true. There are many, many ways to go here, Ben.
Yes. Tons. It's great in many ways. Yes, it's great. But it does seem to me that the streaming services have a certain amount of undeniable power right now in our lives. And also just, you know, I mean, a lot of people, kids especially, listen to music song by song through YouTube. And so they'll listen to a song and then YouTube will, you know, connect them to another song based on, you know, mm-hmm. linking, you know, if you like X,
the
you'll like
chain.
Y. Yep. Yeah. And now those that next video / song will just come up automatically. So, you know. That sort of takes the power away from you too. It's very tempting to just sit there and have somebody do it for you, curate. You know,
yeah.
And actually, in the course of writing this book, I really came to terms with the fact that I like my comfort zone just as much as I like that feeling of growing and exploring and figuring out something new. But
what
I'm
does
also
that mean exactly? That you don't want to explore, or you want to have both? You want to? I mean, sometimes you
what
want
is the comfort
thing you know.
Yeah, sometimes you want the thing you know because it reminds you of who you are, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. But I guess, but it reminds you of who you have been.
Mm-hmm. True.
I think there's always a way to keep moving and growing. You can keep learning, you know, even after that amazing point, that amazing stretch in your life from age 12 to 20 or whatever it is, when, you know, your imagination explodes and you sort of learn at a great pace. Even after that, you can keep learning.
I mean, we here at On Point, like you at the New York Times, are so lucky because we get all this music sent to us. And I just love sampling blindly to see where that amazing new thing with the sound I may never have even thought of comes to hand. It's a fantastic moment. A kind of listening improvisation, another theme that you've got in the book, Every Song Ever, one of the songs you point to in that category or theme, Charlie Mingus and Eric Dolphy improvising on Stormy Weather. The album Mingus, and still just fantastic. Carsey in New Orleans, Louisiana. Carsey, thanks for calling. You're on with Ben.
Hi, Tom. Hi, Ben. I wanted to say thank you so much. I'm so glad you're legitimizing all the online methods of finding new music. I'm a recording artist and a songwriter, so anything that gets people to listen, I'm for it. But I also want to mention that I still love record shops, and that's also a wonderful way to discover new music. As are small listening venues. There's small venues all over the country, and it's good to be familiar with your local venue and be willing to go out to a show to see somebody you might not know yet.
Go out, listen to the music. Carsey's an unusual name, but Carsey Blanton, is that you, Carsey?
That's me.
Oh, folk guitar, piano, fantastic. So go out and listen. I mean, that's as good as it gets. What do you say, Ben?
Can we talk about record stores for a minute?
Yeah.
I mean, just as an idea.
Yes.
I know that they've disappeared largely.
But not entirely.
Not entirely. Yeah. But just the idea of the record store.
Yeah.
When you go into a record store, there's, you know, I was talking earlier about the idea of dumb luck and just stumbling onto something. Mm-hmm. There's an amazing amount of dumb luck that can happen in a record store just by moving your head around,
sure,
and looking and letting something catch your eye, letting, you know, moving your hands across the stock, venturing toward a corner of the store that you haven't visited before, and also with physical recordings, CDs, records, whatever, you have a lot of what's called metadata. You know, not just the basic facts, the name of the song and the artist, but also, you know, who were the musicians on the record, who was the producer,
sure,
when was it made, and even you know, the typography and the design of the jacket can tell you something about the context, you know, that it came from. And all that stuff is very important, and that is a bit of a loss, I think. When we find, compared to the way we find music on Spotify or wherever online, which is often presented to you uniformly without the metadata of who played on the record and all that.
Carsey in New Orleans, Carsey Blanton, you're a recording artist, singer, songwriter. How do you find your new music, or mix it up, or keep it all fresh?
Mostly record stores and recommendations from friends. So I'm a big fan of going into a record store with $10 and coming out with as many records as I can get for that amount of money. And as much as I love Spotify, where you have access to everything that's ever been recorded, I also really like the opposite experience, where I come home with 3 records and that's all I'm going to listen to that day. And it's like the limitations of it can allow me to listen in a deeper way.
I love it. I love it. And we love that you're listening there in New Orleans. Carsey Blanton, thank you very much for calling in. I want to slow it way down here with Philip Korner from Ben's book, Every Song Ever. This is Gymnopédies off Sadie Slowly. Philip Korner. The album is Sadie Slowly, of course, composed by Eric Sadie. And wow, that can take your blood pressure right down. How wonderful, in the most wonderful way. Lance in Detroit, you're on.
Awesome. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Good topic. Yeah, about record stores, too. Detroit is like a gold mine for record stores, so that's really kind of where I started to learn how to find good music. And I really would look up at the walls, because that's where the employees would put all their good records up and whatever they think you should listen to. And from there, you can find a new record label, a new artist, producers, all that fun stuff. And I think that's great. And the closest thing that I found to that is SoundCloud and Bandcamp. I like that Bandcamp kind of puts the money right in the artist's hands. And I like that SoundCloud can search by record label. And I felt that record labels have kind of done all the back end, excuse me, all the hard work. So if I just find a label that I like, whoever's kind of curating that label will often put me on to like four or five new artists that I didn't even know, you know, I'd never heard of, never heard about.
Yeah.
And I feel like SoundCloud does a really good job with that. So yeah, those are two online sources that I use a lot.
Terrific.
Yep. I use Bandcamp a lot too, a lot. I mean, every week or so, I'll just look through it and look at what's new, you know, what has come in the last several days, just the way one used to do that in a record store. And what you see on Bandcamp are usually artists that are a bit under the radar, So you get an enormous variety. You get things that are unlistenable and things that are exquisite.
You got to have tools and a spirit. Ben Ratliff writes, I am attempting to respond to a situation of total, overwhelming, glorious plenty. Tools and a spirit of what? Inquiry and openness. I mean, some artists just churn it out and put it out and put it out and put it out. One of your sort of themes is the endless inventory artist. One of those, Lil Wayne. Here's Believe Me.
Yeah, I'm the only one to get the job done. I don't know and no one that could cover for me. Yeah, got some game from my day. So she might say she love me, she don't love me like she say she love me. Believe me, believe me. I didn't know what boy they love me in the street. I'm not trying to find nobody else to beat.
Ben Ratliff, Endless Inventory as a Way into Infinitude. How's it work?
Well, it's one of the chapters in this book is about artists who seem to be like, broken water mains. You know, like they just flow out music and it never seems to stop. Lil Wayne had a period of... he appeared on so many other people's tracks as well as putting out his own material the question arose, is the only way to know Lil Wayne to know all of it? You know, I mean, like, do you get
life's
a properly representative hit of Lil Wayne just by hearing a couple songs? And then, you know, obviously you can ask the same questions about people like Fela or the Grateful Dead. Where, you know, it's like their music comes out as just chunks of an ongoing discourse.
And it's a great way, if you're up for their sound, for that sound. Ben says, it's up to you to come up with reasons for engaging as a listener that can encompass. And then, you know, the span, Beethoven and Bach and Beyonce and Hank Williams, John Coltrane, Drake, Bjork, Arvel Pärt, Unka Thume, the Beatles, They don't all come from one tradition, and their principles of form are different. You say Fela, as in Fela Kuti. He makes one of your playlists as well here in the endless inventory category, kind of Afrobeat, of course. Where do you think it's taking us so far, Ben? I mean, collectively, this age of musical infinitude, of super plenty, how do you see it shaping the way we listen collectively so far?
That's a good question. And I'm going to try not to answer it, you know, scientifically, because I'm not a scientist. And there have been a lot of really interesting books in the last 10 or 15 years that deal with the neural aspect of listening. The idea that we can access the entire catalog of Fela Kuti immediately and have it to hand within, 20 minutes or so through downloading is astonishing. And it leads you toward a kind of binge listening behavior, just the way we like inhale the entire series of a TV show when it comes out on Netflix.
Mm-hmm.
It's very interesting. I don't really know what it's going to do for us as listeners. I do slightly hang on to the idea that listening takes time. Listening properly takes time. Listening meaningfully takes time. But then again, we have long lives. And, you know, if we hear the entire works of Fela Kuti, if we sort of inhale it within one day, then we have the rest of our lives to process it.
I'm kind of hoping it brings on a new age of enlightenment. Any chance?
Oh, anything's possible. Anything's possible. But I do think that we need to try to reach those back shelves of the imaginary enormous library to find out what we don't already know.
The full range is the beauty, and having the spirit to go out and find it and appreciate it. Ben Ratliff with some good thoughts on how to do that in his new book, Every Song Ever, 20 Ways to Listen in an Age of Musical Plenty. Music critic for the New York Times, Ben, thank you so much for spending a little time with us today.
Thanks a lot.
We'll go out with Ray, W-R-A-Y, by Ensemble Pearl. It's Japanese-American Drone Collective. Just terrific. Full list of the playlist today at our website, onpointradio.org. Thanks for joining us. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.